More shoreline. More
guys,
shoreline
welcome
than
back.
The whole coast of California.
Episode 4 of the Ozark Talk.
This place right here has more shoreline.
This one is called...
Than the whole coast
Tonight
of
We
California.
Improvise. So it starts out, it's like we were talking about in episode 3. Marty goes to Bobby Dean's strip club, and he meets her at the cafe. He meets the stripper from the strip bar at the cafe, and he starts to get information from her and to try and cut a deal with her. And again, he's toe to toe with that sexual energy that so many characters in 99% of characters in all written television drama under those circumstances give in and are banging the stripper or are falling off their mission. But he's so unaffected by her.
So unaffected. It's that he gets to see the pay stub, which is the key piece of evidence, because he sees there's no business name on it. There's just numbers. And then after he gets the intel, he gives her the cash and she goes, where do you want to go? And he's like, what? He's surprised. This is where we see that it wasn't him like, oh, trying to not do it. Mm-hmm. He's unafflicted because he's surprised when she says, she goes, well, I'm supposed to fuck you now. And he goes, Oh, no. We're good. We're good. Go ahead. And she goes, what? You not a blowjob? Nothing. And he's like, no.
Yeah,
and he's just like almost like I need to get on with my next thing, you know.
Yeah. And you see, in comparison to the FBI agent, who clearly has so much energy and so much of himself wrapped up in these dominating relationships sexually, and whereas Marty contains all that energy within himself, he doesn't need it from anyone. It doesn't distract him.
One thing I wanted to mention at the very beginning, the opening is Marty giving the speech, and it shows him putting the money into the dryer, and he's giving the speech, money laundering one. He goes, right. Okay, money laundering 101. You need to make the money look used. So run it over, put it in your dryer, get it dirty, drag it through the dirt. And then he says, then you need a joyful cash business. And then they show the strip club, mix the found money with the cash from the joyful business, send it from the U.S. to a non-IRS monitored country, put it back into a regular checking account, and withdraw it from any one of 3 million terminals. And then we see Dell going to the bank.
Yeah, I forgot that part. I thought that was like a Ozark commercial before the show or something. But yeah, that does relate to this episode completely because of when he runs into Bobby Dean later.
And then later, it ties the... We'll revisit that at the end. Then at that point, we see Wendy talking about how their house sold. Their house in Chicago sold. And she is feeling upset because she goes, oh, you know, Jonah was born in that house. And he goes, yeah, and we had another house that Charlotte was born in, and that one's gone now too. If you sentimentalize property, you're going to lose profits. Which is a transcendent point of view too, disguised as a financially sound point of view.
Yeah, sentimentality is sticky goo, and especially when it starts to appear in people you're close to in your life, because you have to tiptoe around it. But
so he shuts it down immediately.
He does.
Yeah, she also starts to try. She starts bringing up a whole bunch of what ifs, you know, and trying to plan for failure, trying to plan for the possible failure of what Marty's trying to do, you know, and he shuts that down immediately too.
Yeah.
Not having that.
Because that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
She goes, so what if you get arrested? That's not going to happen. What if they try to kill us? That's not going to happen either. And she says she wants to put the assets in her name to protect the family. And he just looks at her and says, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That is never going to happen. So he's not willing to give in to any, whether it's family, friends, anyone. He knows that he's the one ultimately responsible for this. And failure is not an option. He's declared that.
Yeah.
and knows it to be true. So now we cut to Jonah and Buddy. Excellent scene where Jonah's talking about death and asking him about him dying. Oh, and Jonah tells him that he had a friend die of cancer at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonah's growing up fast. I like to watch this show as if Jonah is our friend, Nate.
That's great. Young Nate, he kind of looks like.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
So Buddy says here, well, we're born astride the grave. He just tells it straight to Jonah. And Jonah's like, huh? And he said, you know what that means? And Jonah's like, no. And he said, we're all dying the minute we're born. It goes fast. Don't waste it. And he looks again, don't waste it. Just so excellent in the midst of everything. What a beautiful scene. So we see Buddy just cutting to the core there. And he lets Jonah sit down. He opens up to him. And because Jonah enters with honesty, you know, so he doesn't fuck with him. Mm-hmm. We cut back to the Blue Cat and we see Marty kind of foolishly marching around talking in Spanish on the phone.
Yeah.
A little bit of hubris.
Yeah, a little bit. And then who asks him if he's, is it Rachel who asks him if he spoke Spanish? He says it a few years in high school.
Yeah, he's just 3 years in high school, but he was a real slave driver. Like, I learned a lot, basically.
Right, yeah. You could totally see that slip, though. Getting a little too comfortable at the Blue Cat and taking Rachel for granted a little bit, but she connects the dots.
Yeah. And then we see her go in, and she schools Ruth about not stealing when folks are there, because basically, if you listen to what Rachel says, it seems that when a whole family comes into the Blue Cat for dinner, Ruth goes and texts her family and says, hey, yeah, Nobody's home over at the Smiths, you know?
Yeah.
So Rachel calls her out on it. The next thing is we have the conversation between Del and Marty. Mm-hmm. And Marty says, it's starting to move. And Del's like, what does this mean, starting to move?
Like check is in the mail?
Mm-hmm. And he says, my birthday's coming up, Marty. Do you want to know what I want for my birthday? And Marty goes, no.
You know what else comes in July?
I don't know.
My birthday. Do you want to know what I want for my birthday?
No. I want a good night's sleep. A good shit. And several million clean from you. I can help with the last.
Just admit it, Marty, you fucked.
We're gonna kill your family gently and be done with all this madness.
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say to that.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna kill your family. I'm gonna kill your family slowly. And then he says, oh, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say to that. That's his
and it's response. Not afraid either. He goes, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say to that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, you want me to be scared here? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next scene, we see Marty invites Ruth into his office, which she says looks like a serial killer's lair. And he says, I have a job for you. I need you. There's a safe in Bobby Dean's office. I need you to get it for me. I need you to get what's inside. And she's like, mm-hmm. Okay, then I want 80%. he's like, no. And then she goes 50%. And finally at the end, he says, and I'll give you 25%, and that's it. Otherwise, I can go get somebody else. She's like, and she's sitting there, and he goes, can I get a nod? And she's like, barely moves her head, but she gives in.
Yeah.
So we see them two starting to learn how to communicate. And he says, I hope I'm not going to have to negotiate everything every time I want to ask you to do something. Mm-hmm. And we see him teaching her a little bit too. And she says, what's in it for me? And he says, it's questions like that, asked in that way, that you're going to want to avoid.
Mm-hmm. He's his little apprentice now.
Right. So then we cut to Petty, the FBI guy, and he's looking for a way in. So he researches Ruth, and then he finds Russ, and he sees Russ's arrest record of being arrested with a male prostitute. And I this time through, and when we watched this, his face, it was so disgusting because it wasn't about a break in the case. It was about him going to fuck the hillbilly, you know?
Oh.
Just like, ugh. He just, look what I'm going to do next. Just totally shady in what's driving him. So the next scene, another nice one, Ruth goes in and acts like she's applying to be a stripper with Bobby Dean. And Bobby Dean's a complete asshole, completely power mad, has no idea that he could be being manipulated at all. Completely manipulative. He's whoring out all the women. And Ruth plays him until she can find out where the safe is. She sees the safe. And then right when she does, she punches him in his balls and goes, yeah, not everyone's cut out to be a stripper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a wake-up episode for Bobby Dean. He discovers he's a mid-level thug.
Right.
Yeah.
So right after this, Jonah finds the vultures. He sees the vultures. We see him out there, and he finds a dead animal, and he grabs it. So now we finally get to see Jonah is actually doing this with the dead animals. Then we cut to Ruth calling Marty saying, hey, I need $2,000. He says, what for? And she repeats his lines from earlier. Less you know, the better. That's extraneous detail.
Yeah.
So she's always using, she's learning, listening, and using what she learns immediately, applying it. Marty's not going to give it to her at first. And then he looks out the window and sees Jonah gutting this dead animal. And he goes, okay, whatever you need. And he hangs up. So he sees Jonah gutting this animal. And then we cut to Marty and Wendy on the lake, back and forth talking about Jonah having no friends, being kind of weird, gutting animals. Maybe he'll shoot up school. And Charlotte, we see Charlotte's silhouette. She's there listening to this whole conversation. And is pissed about her parents talking shit about her and Jonah, basically. Mm-hmm. Then we see Petty at the Blue Cat very boldly entrapping Russ into becoming his fishing guide. Mm-hmm. Simple scene there. Then we get to Marty and Wendy talking to Jonah about the animals, and they're relieved to find that he's actually just an explorer, and he's essentially going out to find and research what he wants to experience.
Yeah, I loved this one because they were getting pretty extreme in their fears about what could be going on there, you know? And I mean, if you walked up and told somebody, you know, yeah, my kid likes to drag dead animals out of the woods and pull their guts out in front of our house, you know, that sounds pretty grim. But just the slight reframing and the honesty, you know, of Jonah just expressing his interest and excitement, you know, completely reframes the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had reason to be worried, too, because they haven't been paying that much attention to what he's been doing. They've been so involved. It's like, not out of your corner of your eyes, killing animals. Yeah, shit. Yeah. There's also a theme through this episode of Marty ignoring Wendy. Because Wendy's got these ideas and Marty's just ignoring her outright.
Yeah, he's just blowing her off. And I don't know that he's doing it for the sake of ignoring her, but he's got so much going on that he's just rails with it regardless. Yeah. And she's going to have to realize that she has to stand up for herself and do her thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Ruth gives the kids money to go into the strip club to party, and then the cops get called in for shots fired and chaos. It's a pretty good plan to get the cops in there and get the place emptied out, but it wasn't through all the way because they can't get the safe open, didn't know how to move the safe. It's like, Ruth, that's half a plan. Come on. So that's when Tonight We Improvise comes in and Marty grabs the chain. They lock it up and they lock up the safe with the chain and pull it up the back of the door.
Right. He goes, just meet me back there. She's like, I can't. I got to get out of here. He's like, no, it's fine. Just meet me back there. Yeah. And it's great. And they pull it open. They get the safe out and he grabs he's this is good. This is very good. And he finds the piece of paper under the hidden slot of the safe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Next scene, we see Petty out fishing with Russ, and he's setting the stage here. You see him lead up to it, and then he says, well, I just got out of this hell of a relationship. And Russ is like, oh, well, was the, at least was she hot? And he goes, not she, he.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we see Russ react, and then Petty says, don't worry, I only fuck guys that want to get fucked.
Ooh.
So you see that setup, which was a nice setup.
Yeah, he's poking the bear.
Right. Oh, man, pun after pun there. So after this, we see Marty fully rested and recovering, which is great. So that's a continuation from episode 3, The Dripping Sleep. And we see Charlotte then. Marty's trying to have a nice family dinner and getting everybody feeling good. And Charlotte confronts them, saying, you guys are just pretending everything's all fine. But why did you say that Jonah might shoot up a school? And then Jonah says, why should I believe anything you say if you've been lying to me my entire life? So Jonah realizes he doesn't know the parents. Charlotte realizes she knows them, kind of, and thinks they're fucking lame.
Yeah.
And wondering why everyone's pretending everything's fine. So everyone's learning here. And it's... Each of them are transcending their false expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the benefit of moving to the Ozarks. You learn more in the Ozarks than you do being on the cheerleading team for another year.
Right. So now we see Wendy cleaning the blood off the dock and just feeling the weight of everything that's gone on up to now. And she's calling Sugarwood, Gary Silverberg, calling her dead lover's cell phone, which is apparently still working, and we find out why later. So she's calling there, and I don't remember if it was here. Oh no, that's a little later. So yeah, we'll see that come back.
We had before that, Marty went and saw Bobby Dean.
Right after that. Right after.
Oh, was it right after?
Maybe cleaning the blood off the deck, and then she calls Sugarwood. Then it cuts to Marty goes to visit, and this is, I think, a key scene here.
Yeah, it's incredible. He corners Bobby Dean in a double bind that he cannot get out of.
Yeah.
He forces the sale of his club. Otherwise, he's going to reveal what he knows about the laundering. And Bobby Dean has nothing on Marty. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all.
No, not a damn thing. So he's like, how the hell did you get in here? He goes, oh, I offered to post your bail, which was quite expensive, by the way. And then he said, I've assessed the price of your club. And I think $200,000 is a fair offer.
Yeah. Classic Marty Bird lowers it.
Oh, yeah. Later. So then, yeah. Marty smacks him down. He starts explaining about, you know, the beauty of shell. I'm just going to talk out loud. You can just listen. And, you know, the beauty of shell companies. And then he says, what's the odds that we'd both be dealing with the exact same Panamanian lawyer? And then he says, well, how could you have a business that's completely undetectable? Unless, of course, you had the bearer shares somewhere in your office. Maybe in the safe, in a secret panel.
In a manila envelope.
In a manila envelope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we see Bobby Dean is like, he's basically almost puking on himself at that point. You see his face just melting. And then Marty says, so yeah, fair price, $175,000.
Yeah. So that's the deal. He gets out of jail and gets $175,000, mm-hmm. or he stays in jail. Marty still owns the club, and he doesn't post his bail.
Right. What a choice. And Marty still doesn't try to, like, he's not an asshole in the way that Bobby Dean was to him. Like, oh, I got you. Now I'm just going to give you $10, you fucking loser. He still honors him by giving him the $175,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge thing to do. He didn't have to. So then we see Marty show up at the strip club. And he says, I'm your new boss. None of you have to do blowjobs ever again. You all have rights. You have the right to self-esteem. You have the right to self-respect, the respect of the customers, respect of the boss. And he says, you never have to give any more blowjobs. And they say, how are we going to make any money? And I think Marty realizes what he's responsible for at this
point. Yeah, he seems a little caught off guard at that point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's his cue to come up with creative solutions. He realizes there's a whole other group of people that he's going to want to take care of.
Mm-hmm. And so we see him stepping up, not just, again, like he sees that the well-being of all these other people is related to the well-being of his mission. Then we see Russ and Petty again. Russ is being homophobic and doesn't want to see Petty anymore. So Petty's just playing that out. Ruth gets paid a pretty hefty amount from the strip club. And I think, so we see Marty living up to all his promises with folks too.
Yeah, he's making big money because she got 25% and he gave her $7,000 and he said that was one day. So they were making, he made $28,000 in one day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's outstanding. Then we see Marty at the Blue Cat and we find out about Rachel's fuck of the week. So this is a little bit of a heart connection to that character. And it was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's so believable. It's,
yeah, her characters, she's playing it really well.
Yeah.
And then Marty finds out, and I think that we're seeing that Rachel likes Marty a little bit here too, because she's a little bashful about that situation.
Yeah. Well, there hasn't been a good man come around for a long time. Like.
Right. And then we see Marty finding out that Wendy's been calling Sugarwood. And right after that, that's her dead lover. We see his son call Wendy and she hangs up on him because she gets scared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we meet the Snells.
Oh, and Wendy bought a house.
Wendy did buy the house, right. That's an important point I did not notice till looking at these notes now, was that Wendy got shut down and we could blame Marty all that time. But it's not him, actually, because he's just doing his thing and he doesn't actually have the time to handle that.
Mm-hmm. So Wendy has to do her thing.
He's being honest. And at some point she goes, okay, I spent the money from the house on this other thing. That's what I fucking did. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. This is Wendy improvising and them becoming partners in an authentic sense, two individuals working together.
Yeah, rather than asking permission from Mark.
Yeah.
Right. So good. Good for remembering that one. And then we get to the Snells meeting with Bobby Dean, which is a great introduction to the Snells.
Yeah, it's incredible. This time I appreciated the Snells so much more than the first time I watched it. I could feel their power this time.
Yeah.
And Bobby Dean going there and submissively and tentatively. And when you can see his fear when he first sees Papa Snell there. And he gives him a hug, and both of his arms are around Papa Snell's waist, submissively, even though he's way bigger.
Right? Yeah,
you could tell that that relationship is forged over generations.
Definitely, yeah. It was excellent to see Bobby's body language there. Well played by both guys, and they talk about Marty. And then Joseph Snell gets into the redneck and hillbilly story about the redneck drinking whiskey, and the hillbilly puts him down for it, and then the redneck tosses the whiskey bottle
onto the path,
mm-hmm. and the hillbilly gets upset with it, and basically saying that God sides with the hillbilly and smites the redneck, and then the hillbilly buries the redneck, puts the whiskey bottle on his grave as a makeshift marker, and then looks and sees the most glorious sunset he's ever seen.
Yeah, that's some deep hillbilly wisdom there. So Bobby Dean was the redneck.
Right, Bobby Dean's the redneck, so that's why he told the story. And then Joseph Snell smites Bobby. So we see Darlene, the real dark character here, Darlene. Who comes out with the extra lemonade and drops it and breaks it on purpose and then jams a needle filled with heroin into Bobby's neck.
Which is incredible after having that story told to have the glass shatter and to have him taken out like that. It was a beautiful sequence. I replayed him telling the redneck hillbilly story an extra time so I could really tune into what he was saying.
Yeah, what did you make of that? Because we were struggling with it at first, trying to understand exactly how that connects.
Oh, he's dead.
He's dead, yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, then they just live out the story as it's...
right.
As it reads, yeah.
Or in a way, it's that Snell is putting himself as God because mm-hmm. he's going to smite Bobby Dean, or that it's ordained by God, that there's no way out. The next move is Bobby's going to die.
Right, right.
That's all I can gather from it.
Yeah, Snell takes on the power of God. And actually, that makes a lot of sense because they do that repeatedly as the show goes on. They are not afraid to take power into their own hands.
Yeah, he runs that land, and their family runs that zone, that part of the world. And we'll see a lot more of that right in the next episode when we see some of this fallout start to happen. Mm-hmm. But pay close attention to how Joseph Snell and Darlene operate. It's all under the guise of the sweetness. Go get some more lemonade, and then she's going to stick him in the neck. So then we end with where we began. We see Jonah walk into the room where Marty's got the money counter, counting just thousands and thousands of bills, and he's throwing money into the dryer. And Jonah comes in and is like, "What are you doing?" And Marty stops and is like, about to have him leave the room. And then he says, "Nah, okay, let's do this." And he says, "Okay, money laundering 101. And we see that speech was him telling Jonah what he does for work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you share. you gotta pass it along. And it's actually, it's a good lesson on how knowledge is passed down from generations to generations. Even malicious or nefarious seemingly knowledge is passed along with good intentions mm-hmm. from one person to another in the name of survival.
Yeah. And just to let he knows that the boy is super curious and wanting to learn everything he possibly can about everything, and that he's going to be better off knowing than not knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Each of us, we could end up in any family having our dads teach us anything as the family business.
Right.
That's just the family business. Everyone's the good guy. And this goes to Dell and the lessons that Dell teaches his kids, and to the Snells teaching their kids. You're just passing down the wisdom that helped your genome survive and organize itself in its environment.
Right. It reminds me of something I was thinking about earlier today, which is I'm the only normal person I know. Yeah. You know, and probably that's what everyone can say that.
Yeah.
It applies equally. I'm the only normal guy I know. So him passing that on is passing on what he has to pass on. He's not going to pass on a story or an idea about what success should look like, what life should look like.
Yeah.
Because that's a bunch of bullshit. If that was true, then his life would be reflective of that. So he's actually passing on the facts of his life as best he sees them to give Jonah the best shot at becoming who he is and who he will be.
Yeah, and because this is what he has to share. And would he be a good father if he held that back? There would be a divide and there would be resentment.
Yeah. So we see him bridging those gaps and just being present to what's actually going on, not bound by ideas of ethics, societal ideas, cultural ideas.
Yeah.
And they're obviously not surrounded by any peers anymore. So no pressure from there. Well, we'll see the kids get, the kids and their peers start to relate to things a lot more too.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up, right? This one.
Yeah, that does. And for you folks listening and watching along with us, again, we'd love to hear from you. If you think there's anything we missed, if you're seeing some other transcendent aspects of these episodes, please do go to the site radicalundoing.com/blog and then find find episode 4 and go ahead and leave us a comment there. Let us know what you think. And specifically about that redneck and hillbilly story about God. Tell us what you think of that. And if you would be so kind, leave us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. And we'll see you again for Ozark Talks number 5.
Does it hurt?
What?
Dying.
Life hurts.